Well, glory be to God. Somebody just say amen.
Amen.
Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yes.
Do you believe that God has something specific for you?
Yes.
I think we need to come expecting every Sunday. And not every Sunday, every day. Every day when you wake up, you ought to be thanking God. God, I know you have something for me today. That's all right. Amen?
Amen.
It's okay. I believe you have something for me today. Well, I believe he's got something for you today, and I believe it's right out of his heart. I believe that I have spent time before the Lord, and he has spoke to me, and you may come in here, and you may need answers to things. Let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit has the answer. And sometimes he gives it to you in that small, still voice on the inside of you. Sometimes he speaks through another person. Sometimes you turn on the radio and you hear a song and maybe it's a lyric that speaks to you. Or maybe you read a book and receive something out of the book. But if you will put your listening ears on, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And it may be in different forms at different times. But he has the answer. Amen? Sometimes we look to men, and we want men to give us the answers. But it's the Holy Spirit. And he lives, guess what? You have access, full access. He lives right on the inside of you. If you're born again, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that Holy Spirit came to infill you, to dwell inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have access to him, open and free access. It says if you lack wisdom, just ask, and he'll give it to you liberally. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to share my joy with y'all this morning at some wonderful friends that have come to visit with us. Y'all have met them before. They came and when we were sat in as pastors and had the luncheon, Brian spoke at that luncheon. But Brian and Kay Kingery came into our lives. Well, I say our lives, came into Nikki's life. Kay did back in high school. They met in high school, and I'm so glad they did because Kay married Brian, and I married Nikki, and then I got to know Brian and consider him my very best friend in the world. You know, it is, you got to understand the scripture when it says that a friend sticks closer than a brother, and that's true, and we all need that friend. You know, there aren't a lot of friends as we live our life and in our earth. We have a lot of acquaintances, but it is so good to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen? So they're here visiting from Maryland. He pastors a church up there in Springfield, Maryland, and is doing a good work. Springfield, right? Silver Springs. What did I say? It starts with an S. It has spring in it. What's wrong with that? Cheyenne always likes to correct me about things. She's very practical and very, you know, likes things correct. And I like that too, so thank you. Silver Springs, Maryland, doing a good work up there. And not only is he a first responder on the spiritual level, but he's also a full-time firefighter up there. So he is a first responder on the physical level. And that's his lovely wife, Kay. And that's their wonderful, beautiful daughter, Cheyenne. Their pretty wonderful son, Tacoma. And then they got an older son, too. He lives in Chicago with his wife and first child. So Nikki said to be sure to point out that Kay became a grandmother before she did. I didn't want to do it, Kay. She, I mean, like held me hostage to say that. So before we get started, I just wanted to ask Brian to come up and just greet y'all and just love on you. If you would, Brian, I'd appreciate it. Amen.
Yeah, it's good to have a best friend like Todd. As great as it is to have him as your pastor, he's a great, great best friend. And it's always wonderful to be with him and Nikki. I'm glad Kay married Nikki too, or was friends with... Kay became friends with Nikki too, and God gave me a best friend too. See, I had to do that just so Todd didn't look so bad messing up where we live. So that's what a best friend does, covers for his best friend. So, but it's always great to be here with you guys. We're originally from Christiansburg, and God moved us up to Maryland to minister to the folks up there. And it's such a joy to do anything in the kingdom of God. Such a privilege. And it's always great to be back home, to be with people that you love and care about. And as Todd asked me to greet you guys, I said, what do you want? He said, well, just greet the people. Tell them hello. I felt like getting up here saying hello and sitting back down. But, you know, I always do my best to say, okay, God, if there's anything I could share, you know, I don't want to preach. Todd's got that covered. But if there's anything I could share that would be an encouragement to the people, God, if there's anything that you want to speak, sometimes you got to have somebody that you don't know say something that you need to hear. It's like having kids. I can tell my kids something, but somebody else can tell my kids the same thing, and they'll listen to them. I can give them the same. You know where I'm talking about, right? And so sometimes you just need to hear something because it's not coming from somebody that you're familiar with. But I just feel like the Lord really wanted me to communicate to you guys something today. That you don't need to be okay with everything being okay. There is this trap that we fall into as people that we feel like that sometimes God only does great things when bad things happen. That when we're sick, we receive healing. That's a pretty great thing, right? When we're poor, we receive prosperity. That's a pretty great thing, right? When you're poor. But sometimes we live in this mindset that as long as everything's okay, we're okay. As long as nothing's wrong in my life, things are going good in my life. But did you ever stop to think that maybe that just because everything's okay in your life, that that's not good enough? And I really felt like God wanted me to tell you not to be okay with everything just being okay, because he took me back to a passage of scripture that I absolutely love, that I've fallen in love with, that I've studied and studied and studied. And my wife keeps on telling me, Kay, she says, baby, every time I hear you talk about this passage of scripture, I don't see how in the world you can squeeze anything else out of it. But I keep on going back, I keep on studying the story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings. And there's a passage there that it says that says that she came and stood at the door of the prophet. And she had built this penthouse for the prophet so that every time he'd come into town to minister, he'd have a place to stay. She was a woman that was very well off. She had lots of resources. She didn't really need anything. And when the prophet said, what can we do for her? You know, his servant said, there's really not anything you can do for her. And it said that she came and she stood at the door, and the prophet said to her, at this season next year, you're going to have a child. And this woman needed nothing. She had everything, but God did something in her life, not because she needed something, but because of her faithfulness. And I really believe God just wanted to communicate to you this morning, not to be okay with everything just being okay, because he wants to do something even greater than okay in your life. And he's going to do something because you've positioned yourself because of your faithfulness. It's not because there's something wrong with you. It's not because there's something that you need. But because of your faithfulness, God's going to take you into a season that this time next year, your church is going to look a lot different than it does right now. And so I just pray that you receive that in Jesus' name. And that you encourage each other in weeks to come. Don't be okay with everything being okay. Expect more, because God wants more for you. Do you believe that this morning?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we love you. Thank you for just embracing us and being so loving and kind to us each and every time we come. And I know that's a great reflection of your pastor. He has such a great heart. And whatever you do, if you don't fall in love with anything else, you have to fall in love with his heart. I know I'm probably a little bit better looking than he is, but hey, nothing. I love Todd. Nothing is better than spending time with Todd. So I'm gonna let him preach so we can get out of here and I get to spend some more time with Todd. So come on up here, Todd. Give your pastor a hand this morning.
I will say he is younger than I am, so, you know. Not by much, but a little bit. I'm going to pull this down here. Well, how many is ready for the Word of God today? Like I said before, I think he has something for you today, and if you will reach out and take hold of it, it's something you'll be able to take with you. Amen? But let me preface it with this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I've shared this with you. I used to share it almost every Sunday, but I just felt led to share it with you this morning. It says, "So, I intend always to remind you about these things, although indeed you know them and are firm in the truth that you now hold." I think it right. As long as I am in this tabernacle, this tent, this body, to stir you up by way of remembrance. We're going to talk about some things today, and you've heard them. In fact, you've probably heard them so much you've forgotten about them. But I want to stir you up again in these things that we've been talking about. We've been talking about restoration. Restoration in your life. Just a shout out to the Rosales family. I see them over here. Glad to have y'all in the house today. The whole family and extended. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So what do I want to stir you up in? Well, we've been talking about restoration. We were talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how that brings restoration in different ways to people's lives. And then we talked about how if we don't do those things in love, it doesn't matter, right? Didn't we go into all that? Well, if you recall, and if you've noticed out in the back, that shift banner. First of all, Brian was the one that created that. Let me just tell y'all about that. He created that logo, that graphic. It was awesome. I called him up. I said, "Man, we had this wonderful prayer service, and this is the word that came forth." And I think within 2 days, he like emails me this logo, and I was like, "Yes, we're going to use that." But shift. What were we talking about when that happened? It was shift in the realm of the Spirit happening, and we relayed that. I won't go through the whole thing, but you know, we talked about CGC, Christian Growth Center, being the epicenter of those shockwaves going out into the New River Valley, and that goes right along with the word that came forth this morning about having a responsibility for the New River Valley. You know, the shockwaves going out into the New River Valley, bringing restoration. Well, in order for that restoration to occur, we have to have something that is very vital and very key to us. And we talked about this a little bit last week, our love walk, right? We talked about our love walk. And part of that shift that what came out of that is a shift from complacency to compassion, right? I believe God wants to bring us to a place of restoration in compassion. One, compassion for Him, our first love. And another, our compassion for one another. I mean, if you look back at all the miracles that Jesus did, I know we all want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, don't we? Don't we want to see that? But if you look back at all the miracles He performed, He did it out of compassion. He did it out of compassion. He didn't do it, declare, "I'm the Son of God. And I've come here, and this is who I am, and this is how you need to see me." He didn't do that. In fact, they wanted Him to do that. They asked Him to prove yourself. Show us a sign. And what did He do when they asked? That He rebuked them. But when He had compassion, it says out of compassion He fed the 5,000. Out of compassion He healed the blind. It's that compassion. And we need to, you know, you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, then you have that compassion stirred up inside of you for the individual, the person, whatever, group that you're looking to reach out to. You have to have compassion for them. You have to. Or what does chapter 13 in Corinthians say? You're just a noisy gong. If you don't have that love, that compassion, you're just a noisy gong. In fact, it says in Amplified, you're useless without that compassion. So that's what I want to dive down into a little bit more today. Again, we're talking about restoration. I've given you this definition every Sunday. I'll give it to you again. Hopefully y'all can recite it, because I've given it to you so much. It's a definition of restoration: the act of restoring or the condition of being restored, such as bringing back to a former position or condition. But we said God's idea of restoration is bringing it back to better than before. Brian's got this Mustang he's been trying to restore for how long now, Kay? Too long. He's got this beautiful Mustang sitting in his driveway. It was the last time I saw it, under a cover, and he's done a little bit to it here, a little bit to it there. It's taking him some time. My point is, sometimes restoration comes quickly. Sometimes it's a process. We talked a little bit about that this morning, too. I'm telling you, all that don't come to growth class on Sunday mornings, you're missing out. We dig down and get down into some good stuff. It is right now focused on prayer, but so much more comes out of it than just prayer. And certainly prayer. And because we've said, why? Christian Growth Center is or has a priority placed on prayer. I got to keep bringing this up. If you look at the plaque out there, you cannot receive a harvest unless you first prepare the ground with prayer. We are preparing the ground of people's hearts with prayer. And that's why prayer needs to be a priority. Wanted to pose a question this morning. Why? Why is prayer a priority at CGC? I mean, it's got to be more than just words. Well, one, I believe it's preparing people's hearts. It's preparing the hearts of the harvest to come into the kingdom of God. And not only is it doing that, it's twofold. It's preparing our hearts to receive the harvest. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be walking in love. And that's what I want to talk about more today, is how is our heart prepared to receive this harvest that we keep talking about, this last great harvest that we keep talking about. And that God's idea of restoration is bringing something back to better than it was before. Failure among God's people is nothing new, right? Scripture is riddled with it, right? We can think of all the names that you can possibly think of that had failed in Scripture. I mean, you think about Moses. I mean, you know, one, he killed the Egyptian, right? He got called out by God, and he ends up killing the Egyptian, and then goes into hiding for 40 years. And then what does he do? He marries someone he's not supposed to, and that he's not able to go into the promised land because of. You think about Samson, gave away the secret of his strength right after he was told not to. And he lived those years without his strength. You think about Aaron. I mean, you know, trying to supplant Moses, the leader of that time, with his sister. They contrived together. And then he makes this golden calf to have the people worship the calf versus God. All these names. Solomon, oh my goodness. That man, something was wrong with him. Thank God Jesus told us to live a monogamous life. Because that man had so many wives and concubines, I don't know how he stayed sane. Y'all know I can be free when my wife is in the back. I know, Gene. Jacob, think about Jacob. The deceiver, that's what his name really means. Supplanter, deceiver, not deceiver, supplanter, stole his brother's birthright. Why? By lying and deceiving his father. Jonah, he failed, didn't listen, didn't go, didn't want to go, ended up in the belly of the big fish. Oh, even King David, Scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. But yet, what did he do? Committed adultery. And then he sent out the girl's husband to be killed in the front lines. And then there are the disciples of Jesus. Even the very disciples of the Christ, the Messiah in the flesh, spending time with them year after year. They end up denying him, scattered. Peter even cursed him or curse the people that asked about him. Failures throughout Scripture. Failings in the body of Christ. Throughout the Word of God, it is the astonishing record of the Lord's effort to reclaim and to restore those who are eternally His, but who in a moment of weakness betrayed their initial allegiance. They messed up, and yet God restored them all. So my question to you today is, how many moments of weakness have you had in your life? How many times have you stumbled? Have you fallen? How many times have you failed? I'm here to tell you that God can restore you from all of those mishaps, from all of those mistakes, from all of those questionings, from all of those tragedies, from all of those things that you thought you couldn't get ahead of, you couldn't overcome. From all those things that you thought would be in your past forever, God can restore your life. And not only will He restore it, He'll make it better than before. Amen? Because every time, God will make a way for us. He's the way maker. Y'all know that song? I love that song. Cheyenne, you want to perform that song for us? Huh? Chainbreaker, do you know it? Y'all said you were going to do a duet, the two of you, the brother-sister act. This family, I'm telling you, they are a musical family. It irritates me. I mean, when we first came to up to Roanoke to attend the Brian's church there, the Dream Center, he played the keyboard. He learned to play the keyboard. He played trumpet in high school, right? So he played trumpet in high school. He learned to play the keyboard just, I think it was in a day. I don't know. It seemed like a day, right? So he's playing the keyboard. Well, I go up to his church in Silver Springs, not Springfield, and he's sitting there playing the guitar. And I think he just learned that. I don't know. It's been a little while maybe, but he's musically gifted. And people like that just irritate me because I want that gift. I love music. I love music. It is one of my passions. I love music. I love to sing. And I wished I played trombone in middle school, but those days are long gone. And I certainly couldn't carry a note on that thing now. But where was I going with that? What did I say? I got off track here. Huh? So did y'all. Y'all ain't even listening to me. Y'all ain't paying attention to nothing I'm saying. Chainbreaker, yeah, he's a way maker, he's a chainbreaker, that's right. I was talking about that song and got off on a music lyric here. He's a way maker. Every one of these men were restored back to God that we just listed. Why? Because God loves His creation. God loves His creation. And restoration comes by love. Love is the foundation. In fact, last week we were saying, without love, you wouldn't even, I mean, the gospel would be of no effect. Why? Because He sent Jesus out of love, right? He so loved us that He gave us His Son. Love is the foundation. In fact, before, I think I want to say this. You know, we talk about the authority of the believer, the authority that you have in Christ as a believer of Jesus, that you have authority in this earth. I want to say that without love, that authority may not be as authoritative as you think it is. Without love, love is the foundation. Love is the foundation. It's just like if you're building a house and you don't have a firm foundation, you know, if that thing is not square, it's going to affect every other part of that house. Your fit and finish, your trim, your doors aren't going to shut right, your windows aren't going to shut right. Right? Y'all know? Ladies, if you don't have the right shoes as the foundation of your body touching the ground, it's going to throw everything else off, right? Isn't it? I mean, I'm not trying to be sexist or anything. I'm just saying, you know, My wife has a lot of shoes. She's got more shoes that she don't wear than everybody in our house owns. And that's okay. There's a reason for it. I know there is. Gene says, hurry up and get off of this because you're losing everybody. This ain't working. I got to take his jacket off. So anyways, we're talking about a firm foundation. If you don't have a firm foundation, if you don't have the right shoes, it throws the rest of the outfit off. Can you give me that at least? Okay. All right. Oh, I'm moving along. Just moving along. I'm digging myself out of this pit. All right, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's get into Scripture so y'all help me out here. Let's get into some better ground. Scripture's always good ground. I read this last week. I want to read it again. We're talking about love being the foundation, your love walk, how important it is in your life. When it comes to restoration in your life. Amen? And I read this out of the NIV. I don't think we have it in the back on the computer, so I'll just read it so you don't get confused. If you got an NIV, you can follow right along. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Now just think about that for just one second. More than you could ever ask or imagine. He is able to do immeasurably more than that. But, and this is a big but, and I cannot lie. Sorry. I better stop. If y'all are visiting for the first time, I'm sorry. We welcome you. We think you are here by purpose, and I believe God has a purpose for you being here. I just went back down in that hole, coming back up. It is limited, but it is limited according to what? According, it says, the word says, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. What is that power? Come on, somebody say it. Love. Love. He can only do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine if we have love in operation within us. Do y'all see that? The gospel doesn't work without love. It doesn't work without love. It does not work without love. Love. It says God is love, right?
Yes.
Doesn't it tell us that? God is love. So how does His gospel work if He is love, if there is no love? It doesn't. And love sent His Son to give His life for us. To once and for all restore us back to Him. Right? Isn't that why Jesus came?
Yes.
To restore us back to God. That which was lost in the garden, He wants to restore us back to that relationship with Him. And that is why He sent His Son. That's why He had to send His Son. John 15, verse 12, reads this way. This is my commandment. If it's a commandment, we better listen up. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down or give up his own life for his friends. And you are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. Jesus laid down his life out of love. He laid down his life out of love to bring restoration to an unloving world. To an unloving world. They were looking at every opportunity to kill him, to destroy him, to make him out to be something other than he was. Every opportunity to destroy the man that came to save the world. He came to love an unloving world. Amen? Amen. We are to lay down our lives for the same purpose. The same purpose. We have the same purpose that Jesus had while he walked this earth. And he wanted to bring restoration to a lost and dying world. And we, what does it say? We are his ambassadors. We are his personal representatives in this earth. And that's what we are called to do, is to bring restoration back to a lost and dying world. See, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than you and me and what we got going on in our life. It is bigger than that. We have a mission. We have a responsibility to the New River Valley, to each other, really. And it's the same. It's the same mission that Jesus had, is bring restoration back to God by spreading the good news, whether it seems convenient or not. Oftentimes, it is not convenient to preach the gospel. Amen? Anybody seen that movie, Gladiator? I mean, y'all know me in movies. I'm sorry. It's one of my favorite movies. I don't know. I think this, the storyline of it, it just, it's, the of course, action. I mean, you don't want to. Anyways. Gladiators, they existed. They're a real thing. Okay, it was in when Rome was in its all its glory. They had the big arena. The Colosseum is still there today, although it's, you know, in ruins, and they preserve it the best they can. But I want to tell you a story that really sheds light on laying down one's life. Back in the day of Rome, when they had the Colosseum in full swing, they had what were called the games, where people actually lost their life, and there were in fact real gladiators, and most of them were from people that the Romans had conquered and brought them in, and really they were slaves. They had no choice in the matter, but they would send them out to do battle in these big productions in the Colosseum. I mean, I've heard different estimations, but anywhere from 40 to 80,000 people could watch these games in the Colosseum. So this was a real thing that happened. But I want to tell you a story about, and I'm going to get his name wrong, but it's Telemachus, I think is, I mean, that's how it's written. T-E-L-E-M-A-C-H-U-S. That's how it's written. And it's a story about a monk. Have y'all heard? Does anybody know Christian history, or, you know, have you heard this? Good. He was a real monk that lived, and he, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not going to read the actual story, but he had a call of God on his life, and he thought that God was setting him apart to go out and live a life of solitude as a hermit and just, you know, getting with God. Developing his relationship with God. searching for the things of God. And so he did that. He went out into the desert and lived his life as a hermit out in the desert. And all of a sudden one day, he heard from God. And I don't say it was an audible voice, but he knew. There was a knowing inside of him that he had to do something more. He had to do something more than to just exist and to have him and God to himself. In fact, he thought he was living a selfless life. He thought he was laying down his life for God by going out into the desert, being alone with God. But what the Holy Spirit showed him was that he was living a selfish life for God. And he pointed that out to him. And I just want to read this snippet here. And so he's out there all alone, thinking he's doing service for God. And one day, he rose from his knees and it suddenly dawned upon him that his life was based not on a selfless, but on a selfish love of God. It came to him that if he was to serve God, he must serve men. And this is the point of all this, that the desert was no place for a Christian to live, and that cities were full of sin and therefore of great need. So he determined to bid farewell to the desert and set out to the greatest city in the world, Rome, at the other side of the world. He begged his way across lands and seas. By this time, Rome was officially Christian. He arrived at that time when Stilicho, the Roman general, had gained a mighty victory over the Goths. And to Stilicho was granted a Roman triumph. And there was this difference from the old days. Now it was to the Christian churches that the crowds poured and not to the heathen temples. But one thing lingered on into the Christian Rome, and there was this arena. There were still the gladiatorial games. Nowadays, Christians were no longer thrown to the lions, but still those captured in war had to fight and kill each other to make a Roman holiday for the populace. Still, men roared with bloodlust as the gladiators fought. I decided to read it because I was really messing up the story. So Telemachus found his way to the arena, and there were 80,000 people there. The chariot races were ending, and there was a tenseness in the crowd as the gladiators prepared to fight. And to the arena they came with their greeting, "Hail Caesar! We who are about to die salute you." And if you ever seen that movie, they say that in that movie. The fight was on, and Telemachus was appalled. Men for whom Christ had died were killing each other to amuse an allegedly Christian populace. He leapt the barrier, and he was in between the gladiators, and for a moment they stopped. "Let the games go on," roared the crowd. Can you imagine? They pushed the old man aside. He was still in his hermit's robes. They knew what he was. They knew who he was. And again, he got between them, and the crowd began to hurl stones at him. And they urged the gladiators to kill him and get him out of the way. The commander of the games gave an order. A gladiator's sword rose and flashed. And Telemachus lay dead. Suddenly the crowd went silent. They were suddenly shocked that a holy man should have been killed in such a way. And suddenly there was a mass realization of what this killing really was. The games ended abruptly that day, and they never began again. Telemachus, by dying, had ended them. As Gibbon said of him, his death was more useful to mankind than his life. By losing his life, he had done more than ever he could have done by husbanding it out in lonely devotion in the desert. One man changed the course of history by laying down his life. We are called to lay down our life for the gospel. Now, I'm not saying you need to go out there and die for it, physically die. But we're to lay down our life to bring the good news to a lost and dying world. And we can change. We can change the course of history. We can change the course of the New River Valley. We can change. Come on, y'all have to sense the shift that has taken place in our government even now. We have authority in this earth to bring change, but we must do it in love, right? You can't minister to someone unless you have compassion for that person. Otherwise, it's just words, and they bounce off. There's no depth to them. There's no meaning to them if they're not in love. So we need to get a revelation of the love of God inside of us. I mean a revelation of it. It's got to be so deep down inside of us that when we go to minister to someone, that love just pours out of us. And it's real. It's something real. It's something tangible that they know. Don't you think? When you're talking to someone, or someone's maybe has ministered to you, you know whether they're just going through the motions or if they're doing it out of love, out of compassion, out of a deep compassion for you. Amen? And they don't have to know you. It's not about knowing you. It's about the love of God inside of you for them, for your fellow man. Amen? Like I said, I'm just here to stir you up today, to encourage you, to bring you back to remembrance of that first love, of why we are here. I know, we talk about it all the time. Distractions are out there in the world. There's so many of them. I just spent an entire day yesterday watching people run, and I drove for hours to see my beautiful daughter become a state champion. Auburn, state champions, boys and girls cross country. That's my family, right? We're going to do things for our family. But there is so much going on out there that can take us away from our first love. But if you get that first love relationship correct, all these things will be added unto you, right? When you seek first the kingdom of God, He'll give you time to do all those things that your heart desires. He will. Amen? Not saying we have to die like Telemachus, but we must communicate the gospel. We must communicate the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. Verse 1 says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of His coming and His kingdom, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and I dare say the time is here, when people will not tolerate, they won't endure sound and wholesome instruction. But having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. I pray that is not us. We hear from the Holy Spirit. We hear from the heart of the one true God. We are not led off by man's traditions, man-made fictitious stories, but we compare what we hear to this book, to Scripture, as we walk out our love walk. Amen? It is our responsibility to represent Him in this earth, bringing restoration to it. We are an agent of restoration in this earth. We are to bring restoration. You know? Hey, I think it's great. We do things to fellowship with one another and guess who's coming to dinner and Christmas carol karaoke. And that's fun stuff. I get excited about stuff like that. I do. When we come together and fellowship with one another. But let us not forget why we are here. All those things are great. It's wonderful to come together as a body like this corporately to worship God. To get a word of encouragement, right? To come and lift up one another. I'm telling you, y'all should be seeking out one another and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you how you can lift up and encourage that person. Don't tell me when someone walks through the door, you can't see it all over them that something's going on. And sometimes we just greet them with a polite smile. Hi, how you doing? Great, how you doing? Good. Good to see you. No, the Holy Spirit can speak to you to give that word of knowledge to them or a word of wisdom to encourage them, to lift them up, right? Aren't we called to do that?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 pretty much says that. It says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin or of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Responsive to is the key. Responsive to the Holy Spirit should set him right and restore and reinstate him. Without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Verse 2, bear, endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it. That's simple stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's simple stuff. The gospel is not complicated. Now, there are many facets to it, yes, but the message is not complicated, but it is necessary. God is in the restoration business, and we need to be in the restoration business also. Amen?
Amen.
Word talks about the abundant life, right? Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. For us to walk in that abundant life, the foundation, I believe, has to be love. It has to be love. Love for God and love for our fellow man. Again, I know this is all stuff you've heard, all stuff we know, but we need to be stirred up in it, reminded about it. We need to constantly have our love walk on our mind. Am I walking in love? Am I doing this in love? Am I saying this out of love? I mean, you know, let that be your litmus test. Is it in love? Is what I do in love? Do I teach because I have a love for God and a love for His people and I want them to grow and know? You know, do I go to work because I love my family? I want to provide for them. I want to impact the people that I work with. You know, it's got to be out of love. 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 I do believe, it's been said before, and Wanda that I remember first said this, and it's been repeated, and I say it all the time, I do believe that God is doing a heart work in these last days. He's doing a heart work in these last days to return us to our first love. You know, it's I believe and I agree with the prosperity message and the faith message, and I stand with that. But if it's not done in love, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It has to be by and through love. We have to return the love that God gave us when He gave us His Son. You think, and we said this, you know, you think in a relationship, right? If you've ever been in a relationship, hopefully not a marriage, but just a relationship where you loved someone so much and that love was not returned back to you, how that just wasn't a good place. It wasn't a good feeling. And I just said that, you know, God loved us so much that He gave us His Son. And then when we don't return that love to Him, not that He's a person or that has, I don't, you know what I'm trying to say. Returning that love that He gave us is so crucial and so important. We need to reflect His love in this earth. We need to reflect His love in the New River Valley. Heck, we need to reflect His love right here in this building. Don't we? It is easy, too easy to get out of love. The enemy, I mean, that's the enemy wants to steal that love. He wants to steal that love from us. We can't let him do it. We can't. It's too important. We have too much responsibility to let him steal that love from us. So my encouragement to you the rest of this week is to do all that you do in love. Let that be your litmus test. Let that be your gauge. I mean, I'm telling you, when you go up to a counter at Walmart, am I saying what I'm doing? Are my actions reflecting the love of God? As you're driving down the road, are your actions, your words reflecting the love of God? As you speak to family members over this holiday season, we're going to be gathering together. A lot of people get together with extended family. That can be a point of anxiety for some people. It can be. But what you say and what you do and how you act during those times, are you doing it out of love? And let me tell you, you can do it because His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you to walk in love in every area of your life. Every area. Every area. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all receive that this morning?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, I believe, and I know, we are believing for a tremendous harvest of souls, aren't we? As the body of Christ, believing for a tremendous end time harvest of souls into the kingdom of God. We are believing for this.
Yes.
We are. I believe it's going to happen. But I want us to be used in that, right? Hey, it's no, you know, if you're not going to be used in that, he'll go to the next person, right? Even the stones will cry out. But isn't it great to be a part of that, to even think that you're a part of that, that you have an integral part into receiving this last great harvest? I don't know. I don't know what it does for you or what it means to you, but it means a lot to me. And so no matter what you do, no matter what your vocation is, your calling, do it all out of love. And remember that you are a minister everywhere you go. You're to minister in the area of reconciliation, bringing the lost to know the one true love, God Himself. Amen? Well, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the words that have gone forth. I believe that they have not fallen on deaf ears, but you have given us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And even if it was just one word, one thing, one portion that someone can take away and apply to their life to change, to bring a change, to institute a change in their life, to bring restoration in an area of their life that they've been believing for. To speak a word to bring restoration to someone else's life. This is what you've called us to do. And I pray that each one of us walk in that love of God. That we return that love back to you. So Father, I thank you. I thank you that we can come together in this great nation this free nation, to worship you, to teach the Word of God, to lift up hands and sing songs and just worship you, Lord. I thank you that we are able to do that. And we don't take it for granted. We don't take that for granted that we can come together as one body in one accord, speaking the good things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we say thank you. Thank you. Amen.